Author of the Week, featuring another great creator of narratives for the human race on Southside Broadcasting and Siren Radio.
One of the clear successes over the last few years has been our Author of the Week feature with respect to Midweek Drive. And so we've decided to actually open this up into a more panel-based thing to talk specifically about the whole art of marketing oneself and so on and so forth. And we've got three fabulous folk to actually share with us their particular experiences with respect to this whole side of things. First of all, a young lady we spoke to when she was actually over in Britain recently, in Durham, and doing a whole variety of elements and pieces. It's the fabulous Marie Powell. How are you, Marie?
Great, Alex. Thank you for having me.
Excellent. Always good to feature yourself. We've also got the welcome return of Wendy Hawking. How are you, Wendy?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much.
Excellent. And shortly after his relatively recent last appearance, it's the awesomely talented Texas man himself, Charles Brakefield. How are you, Charles?
Alex, I'm doing well. Thank you.
Excellent. Charles, if we can come to you first, because you certainly have pushed the boat out when it comes to branding, marketing, getting the whole package out there. I mean, clearly you're all three very talented writers, produce some fabulous material, but clearly, as often is the case, getting to that wider audience, getting to your tribe, finding your tribe can be a big issue. So, Charles, talk us through initially how you've managed to work through this process and again continue to do so with respect to the Enigma series.
It's I have to have full transparency here. It's been trial and error in a lot of different areas, but I'll just be blunt about it. The best way to start is face-to-face, because people like to buy from people. They like hearing the stories from the author's own mouth. They like the personal interaction. We find those to be very, very satisfying, and purchases and people that that become raving fans. You can't be everywhere all the time. So then it's, okay, what's the next best thing you can do? Well, what is the media for the properties that you're trying to get to the into the hands of the buyers? That could be an ebook. Some people think, yeah, I can't focus on the small print anymore. Some people like, no, I got to have hard copy, so you better have hard copy. And there's some that like, I don't have time to read, and so they can listen. So do you have an Audible format? What does your target market look like? And so you start looking for those proof points, and you get that a lot of times from your email list, the people that you talk with. It takes time. There's no easy formula for it. I wish there was. We could bottle it and sell it here, for whatever you want to charge. I see my esteemed colleagues nodding their heads going, oh yeah, 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 that's a hell. Yeah, sign me up for a quart of that. It's a journey. It's not a once and done. You can't just say let me put my ads out on AMS and walk away. They got to be nurtured. They got to be touched, frequently. What's working? What isn't working? It's a reality check on an ongoing basis, day in, day out. If you're not visiting your marketing plan on a quarterly basis or at least monthly, you're going to get all you deserve, which is going to be, quite surprisingly small.
Well, let's turn to Marie, if we may, because Marie, first of all, congratulations that you are the official Winter 2023 virtual writer in residence for the Saskatchewan Writers Guild. I mean, echoing what Charles has just been saying there, that is obviously a good place to actually connect with people and obviously continue to spread the Marie Powell world with respect to Last of the Gifted and more, presumably. Or is it a case of, no, as a virtual writer in residence, I do something completely different?
No, you're right. But mostly you're mentoring other writers, right? And writers like to talk about their own books, not so much yours. But yeah, it's always a good, it gets you some visibility in the neighborhood. A little different for me from Charles, because in Saskatchewan, we don't have a huge population. And as yet, we haven't had a lot of in-person, face-to-face selling opportunities here yet. I hope that will return, but COVID kind of stopped a lot of that from happening here, and it hasn't really returned in the way it has in some other places, I think. So my opportunities now, like this year, to go face to face with people has been a little curtailed. I've had a couple of opportunities, but not a lot of audience come, attending and so on. So that puts me in the position of looking more at the online. I think these things are cyclical, like when things are happening, you can do that. As Charles said, you have to continuously kind of revisit what your strategies are according to what's available and what's going on around you. And this is so for me that the idea of going online was useful. The virtual writer in residence is an online residency, so I'm meeting with people on Zoom. But again, it's a mentoring kind of position. But that's, that gives me some credibility too in the region anyway. And I'm a mentor again this year, so I'm mentoring another fantasy writer. So that's always fun and gets you a different, a different perspective. You're getting out. We always do some mostly online readings and things like that during those time periods as well. So that does help. But yeah, it's it requires a lot of thought, I guess, and some strategies, that you're always kind of changing up your strategies. And I've been very lucky too, because regionally I've had good support from the my funding agency, Creative Saskatchewan. I'd give them a little plug while we're here, because they have a very progressive view about marketing and will fund authors to market their books if they have a good strategy. So, I guess I'm all about the plan and the strategy and trying to change that, trying to see what's going on in the market, keep up with what's going on in the market and trying to use that to some kind of advantage. And again, I'm a young adult author and a children's author, so my readership is not my market audience, if you will. I'm marketing to adults, either in parents and grandparents, or I'm marketing to schools, a lot to schools and libraries. So there's a little, difference there as well, I think, in terms of my strategies. Yeah.
I mean, from your own obviously experience with mentoring, we move to again that other aspect, which of course is what gives writers their ideas in the first place. And I see we turn to your good self, Wendy, your latest publication, Writing with Your Muse, a spiritual guide of creativity by your good self, of course, with the strapline, you don't have to be psychic to be successful with these techniques. So is that the other end of the scale? Is that in a sense of you've got the hard bitten Charles there with respect to the practical pragmatics of you've got to actually see people in person? Wendy, obviously, in the virtual sense of looking through other things, and then yourself saying, just leave it to the universe, all will work out.
Well, I wouldn't say leave it to the universe at all. I mean, part of the reason I wrote this book is because I do lots of face-to-face markets. So, I agree with Charles there. I moved to Vancouver Island last year, and this summer I learned so much because I signed up for all kinds of outdoor markets and really another friend of mine, JP McLean, who may have been on this show, I don't know. She got me started with a lot of outdoor markets. And what I discovered was that people do want to meet you and they want to talk to you. And I lucked into this thing where I was just selling so many print books at these craft fairs and talking to people. And in doing that, because you're kind of when you're in that market with all your stuff around you, you're that contained audience, so people want to come up and talk to you about their stuff. And then I talked to so many would-be authors, so it was like they wanted to know how I got my ideas, just like you're saying, and all those things. And I thought, I really need to write this book and get this book out, because I had started it in 2019 when I was doing a year of mediumship and psychic development, talking to spirits and working with a lot of people in that area. And I finally got down to it and said, I'm going to write this because I know that there are a lot of writers out there that are stuck and that have writer's block and that have all of these problems getting their words from the air, from spirit onto the page, kind of a thing. So that's what I did. I wrote this basically for them. And that's where the idea came from. So yeah, it's good.
I can't believe it. It was actually September 2022 when last we spoke, Wendy, but still, this proves that time is just an illusion, as many folk would say. Let's turn back to Charles, if we may, because there is a long history of writers going out and about meeting their publics, Charles Dickens being a classic case where he'd have tours. He'd tour America. He'd actually give readings of his book and so on, and oh, his books in many ways. Is that something which is still with us? I mean, you talked about the way in which clearly our audiences like to meet authors and so on, but is there the demand for authors to actually read from their work, to actually engage more proactively with their work, either at conventions or other such things? Or is it just a case of just talk about the writing process?
We've done a little bit of all of those, Alex. We've gone to shows where they said, "Who wants to do a reading?" And my co-author, Rox Burke, he's like, "Oh, call on me, teacher." And she can't wait to be able to read because then it's a chance to be able to. It's a one-way conversation, but it's a conversation starter. Here's a chapter from this book that's it's a lot of fun, and it's also the way that you get into book clubs. Being able to do some modest readings, and so again, that's opening up some of the retirement communities. That's they live for authors to come in, do some readings, and then say, let us tell you about our book. And if you've done it correctly, they've already purchased them, or if you sold a stack of them beforehand, they get a chance to read it. And then it's like a where did you come up with this idea? How did this character come about? How did you make this person so despicable? Ick, 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 that kind of stuff. So they, again, it's the one-on-one discussions. We were at a fellow author's book signing extravaganza, and her marketing department was there. So I pulled them aside and said, "Hey, what would it be like? How would it be for us to be able to come work with you guys? I mean, a marketing department, wow, that'd be so cool." And they said, "I'll just be honest with you, Charles. Nobody wants to talk to the marketing people. They want to talk to the author. They want to talk to the person who actually wrote the stuff." If you think that it's the end all be all, no. And for Marie, one of the ideas that we have down here in Texas, some of the food stores, like Kroger's, Albertsons, those big ones, they actually have a program where they bring in authors on Saturday, and as you walk in, they're there with their books set up and chatting. And I'll be honest, you can't sell techno thrillers, in the shopping malls. The people coming in for diapers and beer, they don't want to talk to you about that. But you got children's books, you got young adults. Oh wow, yeah, give me a stack of this stuff because I'm gonna I've got kids at home that need to read. So again, where is your target market? Who is the audience that you're trying to cultivate? And to Wendy's point, we've had great success going to some of the arts and crafts fairs. I even went, we even went to a comic book convention, and made our table money back. We made it was like fun sales because we had products that met the people, and we didn't have any competitors. There was nobody else selling technical thrillers in a comic book convention, so. Where are your opportunities? You need to turn over some rocks, and say, "Well, it looks to me like people who would like this would like that." And the book fairs, the Con Festival there in Seguin, Texas, that we go to every year. It's outdoors, great. I guess the best thing about it is that they sell, wine and beer, by the drink there. And so about late afternoon, our sales are just going like crazy because these people show up half crocked with with their favorite adult beverage, and we get a chance to be able to talk to them. So it's that one-on-one that's, if you can achieve it, that's what we get our best results.
I mean, you've raised a number of interesting points there, Charles. And certainly in Britain, I've noticed that I've come across authors on agricultural shows. I've come across authors in science fiction conventions, in crime conventions, obviously specifically focusing on the genres of crime and science fiction in those particular instances. Children's books tend to be very popular with respect to country shows, I've noticed. I mean, Marie, looking for your experience when obviously you were doing some authentic cooking in Britain, did you sort of think at the time this could be an opportunity to start promoting my books as well?
Well, of course, but one has to be a little subtle when one is a participant in a class with other participants, right? No, I mean, people are always interested, and it's always good to strike up a conversation wherever you can. Sounds like I need to go to Texas, man. But to find some people. Anyway, this is a pretty remote area, but we have had a couple of fairs, and we're just getting back, I think, into the. I was a participant in Fan Expo for about 3 years prior to COVID, and it was excellent. I would say it's a very excellent market for young adult and even children's books as people go through the Fan Expo, and what they're looking for definitely fit what I was doing. And plus, you can go in costume because I write medieval, you know. So, but that will come back. It'll come back here eventually. It's just taking a bit of time to do, and our population is pretty small compared to Texas too. So.
I mean, Wendy, you're also north of the border. I mean, from your own point of view, is it a case of, yeah, I need to move from Canada to Texas, or is it a case of, no, I'm going to stay up here in Vancouver because, frankly, Hollywood is moving here.
I think
This is
she's finding a lot of tourists going to where she is at in
exactly.
Vancouver, definitely.
Yes, the Americans are coming here and getting a great deal on our books at the
So
market.
is
So,
Vancouver
yes.
the Texas of Canada then?
It's the Hollywood of Canada. Yes, it
Oh,
is.
well.
It is. It is a big thing. There's a lot of filmmakers up here and a lot of that going on. But I just want to add that all markets are not created equal. And so I did a lot of different markets this year, and I went to somewhere there were a lot of authors, and that can be really intimidating to readers who tend to be introverts and want to browse quietly amongst the shelves. And when you've got a bunch of hungry authors going, pick me, take my book, it's intimidating for them. But then I went to a witchy market for Halloween, and I wore my witch's robes because that's my thing. So as soon as I start talking to people and I have all my series there, I write an urban fantasy theory series about witches who solve murders using ritual magic. And they were like, whoa. So I did really well there. And it was like I found my tribe. And I think that's the thing about branding and finding your people, right? And it's a really interesting thing. But then over the summer, I sold a lot of books just to people who, when you do get a chance to speak to them, and I would run through the whole series. And so they were buying, some of them were buying the first book. And then they'd say, oh, if I buy that and I like it, I better just buy them all. And so that was fantastic. So I was selling a lot of my series. And yeah, it's a whole different thing, but you have to try and figure out which markets will work and which markets won't. And even on a particular day, like it could just be a bad day. It's just, you know, or a good day. And I think it has a lot to do with the energy that you put out as well. You know, I've been to markets where I haven't felt good and nobody's come near me. And then I felt, you know, gone to markets where I'm feeling out and I'm talking to people and they're like, oh, let me see. Come on up, let me see. And so there's a real, it's interesting how that works.
I mean, you raise a
I
really
think what
interesting
we're
point there, Wendy. I mean,
I
just
think what
briefly
we're
going
over.
follow up with that. Sorry, Marie, go on.
I was going to say, I think what we're all saying, if I'm hearing everybody correctly, is it's all about relationships, really. You know, if you're establishing relationships face to face with someone as you're trying to sell to them, or if, like in my case, you can establish relationships online with the market, with the people who are promoting to different markets, and then they help you a lot, you know, in terms of help of promoting your books for you, in a sense. By recommending you to others. Like here, it's kind of like a recommendation situation where people are recommending you, recommending your books for different reasons. And then, you know, if you don't have the opportunity to convince them face to face, then at least that that you're getting through to, you know, other areas of the market. It's that 6 degrees of separation thing helping you out there too.
I am really interested in terms of the line that Wendy raised there about obviously being approachable, because I've also experienced situations where authors have effectively been completely disengaged and almost kind of put up various barriers, either through reading newspapers, having their arms folded, looking very annoying, etc. All sorts of other areas. You just think, do you really want to actually promote your text, or are you looking to use reverse psychology here
Yeah.
in terms of the way that things come across? I mean, Charles, from your own perspective, listening to Wendy and Marie, and obviously the great news for all three of you is that people are still interested in books, because there is that sense that, well, are we generating a post-literate, TikTok-based visual society in which actually the written word is on its last legs? So hopefully we've identified that isn't the case. But from your own experience, Charles, any particular anecdotes from times where things maybe haven't gone according to your original plan?
I think when we first started out, we had the attitude that these books are for everybody, and it's taken us, a number of tries and events to reinforce the fact. No, focus on your target market, the people that are interested in this kind of a book. That if you ask them right up front when they walk by. There's a very fine line between, pitching your wares and being outgoing and heckling. And so, if you look like you're a heckler, some people are kind of turned off by that. To Wendy's point, they're introverts and they don't want to be, you talking to me, and they stare at their shoes when they talk with you. Except for the aggressive ones, they stare at your shoes. So you have to be careful, when you're dealing with some of those people. It's important to know who you're trying to sell to, and if they've got the same kind of taste, and say, what do you like to read? And that's an open question. They go, well, I kind of like this or this. And I'm like, okay, well, here's a story that you might like, and you grab one right off the table and talk to it. And they go, well, and we're a big believer of writing stories that are self-contained, which means, if that's the only book I get you for, you won't ever complain. It's like, man, I wish I'd gotten the other ones all around it, because I can't figure out what's going on. It has to be good enough. It has to be closure. It has to have closure for the reader, so they enjoy the story. And that story can't be a cliffhanger saying, well, stay tuned for the next book where the rest of the all the answers you're looking for come. That's to me, that's unfair. We just won't play that game.
That's a really interesting point that you raise, because I do know one of my colleagues who does a Book of the Month program with me absolutely hates trilogies, especially if it's the first part of a trilogy, because they always feel as though you can be sometimes left at the end of a cliffhanger if you're not very careful. I mean, to that point, Wendy, do you find that you need to have a kind of blend of some self-contained aspects of writing, or indeed other book, which, because of course there is the reverse, that some people actually like to have that ongoing, never-ending story narrative.
No, exactly. That is what I do. So because I'm writing thrillers and murder mysteries around this Wicked Coven, and I have a chance when I'm talking to people to explain how it works, you'll get a richer feel for the characters because it's character driven if you read all of them, but each one is its own story set in a different location. So I often will talk to people about, well, do you like Ireland? Do you like Scotland? Do you like the BC coast? Because I have, different books set in each places, and they are self-contained. There might be a little tweak at the end, just to be like, oh, guess what? This might happen in the next book. But you don't. It's not like an ongoing kind of a saga. So it works like that, and I think that's fair because I don't like it either. If I pick up a book, pick up book three. And I'm like, I have no idea what's going on here in a series. But I've had people read my books backwards, like starting with four and going back, or just picking up the fifth and being able to read that. I just released the fifth one actually at Halloween. And so it's important to do that, I think. But other things, I was just thinking too, as we're talking, it's not all about print books and markets. There's lots of other great things too. And one of the things I'm really focusing on this year is looking for contests that make sense, that aren't sort of ones that are money grabbers, because there's that. And looking at Ally, the Alliance of Independent Authors, and seeing who they say is okay and who isn't, and then trying things out. Last year, with one of my standalone novels, Lure, I won a National Indie Excellence Award, and that like took me a long way. And I was able to now I'm able to talk about that, show it to people, and when they see that someone else has given credence to your work, they're like, oh, that's good. So there is that need still to have some kind of backing behind you that isn't just you selling books at a market.
Well, I have to say, just for the benefit of the listener, that your canine friend, who's looked completely exhausted in the background there, has obviously been working very solidly on your behalf and is literally sort of completely motionless. Presumably, he is still alive.
She's actually part of my branding, you know. She goes with me everywhere, and she comes to markets too. But and if I'm staying too long at the computer, she'll come over here and knock my arms off like this, you know. But yeah,
Well,
she's
that's the thing
good.
about canines. They select their companions and they stick with them for life, which is very important. I mean, Marie, from what we've been talking about there, I mean, clearly the notion of continuing series, a balance between the two areas, etc., and indeed Wendy's line about having that additional endorsement, if you like, which can be granted through a number of sources, but obviously can actually help the kind of promotional push for the whole thing. Any thoughts you'd like to add?
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, contests definitely do help, I think. Some people say they don't, but I think it's always, if nothing else, it gives you the feeling that your work is credible and gives you a little more self-confidence in promoting it or in, you know, talking to people about it even. But I think I agree with Charles too that really it's all about the reader. It's all about the person at the if you're at a book table, it's about the person who's come up to talk to you about it. If you're online, you know, or if you're trying to do social media or anything like that, you're thinking about who's reading it. If you're writing your newsletter, you're thinking about who's on your newsletter list and what they would like to hear about, what they, you know, would like to read, what why they're coming up and talking to you at this moment, or you know, how you can reach them. And I think that's really what marketing is all about. It's not so much about you or promoting your books or anything. It's about you know, thinking about the audience and thinking about how do you fit with them, you know, and how can you help them, how can you serve them, if you will. And I think that attitude kind of helps me a lot, just because I'm a little bit of an introvert. So it gets me over the hump of, you know, a way to approach people is I'm always thinking, and it's a way of mentoring people too. You know, you're always thinking about how can I help you know, as opposed to why should you look at me, you know, kind of thing, right? And I think that really does, it's a good attitude. If nothing else, it's a healthy attitude. And I think that's the main key too, is you have to do your book marketing or anything you do with the public with a view to self-care, you know, like doing it in a way that makes sense to you, doing it in a way that you can feel is authentic for you and do, you know, more than once. You want that repeatability about, you know, to it, something that you believe in. And I think if, when you are passionate about your books and you've done, you know, the work to put them out there, I think that comes through too to people, and people respond to that. If you like what you're doing, you know, and you like talking about it, then I think people like talking to you about it, you know, and will be much more enthusiastic about buying the books in the long run. Yeah.
Charles, the
That
phrase that sprung to mind when you were discussing the ways in which you can approach people in a way which doesn't actually make them run for the hills, three words basically, hustle but don't hassle. Is that something which you would tend to say is a good approach, that you need to have a gentle hustle as opposed to constantly saying, but what about this? What about this? Etc.
Well, what's going to happen is that you're going to be able to get if you practice enough at it, you'll be able to read people well enough, quick enough, so you're not harassing them. And if they're interested, you can get that information from their body language. I did want to comment on Wendy's point about the competitions, the book fairs, let me compete, let me send my book in and have a review. That's always very gratifying to get get placed or win in a category. But what's really valuable from an author standpoint is the reviews that you get back. And so, this was good, except that constructive criticism that helps that story smithing, character smithing, word smithing that we all need to make a better product and enhance our product's capabilities. And it's reach when somebody picks it up and goes, "Hey, this is good."
We live in an age of, it would seem, extreme social media and brevity. So I'm going to put a general test question to all three of you fine folk, which is sum up your work in no more than one sentence. Marie.
I'm not sure what you mean exactly.
If I was to actually ask you to in one sentence, last thing, I don't know, just no longer than, shall we say, 20 seconds, sum up your favorite novel that you've written.
Well, my series is medieval fantasy. It's two siblings pledge their magical gifts to save their people from the ruthless army of Edward I, Longshanks, with a little help from the last true Prince of Wales after his murder. And it's magic and legends. It's set in the historical realities of 13th century Wales.
Perfect. Wendy.
That was a run-on sentence, Marie.
Yes.
I got
She
caught
went first.
off
I gave
guard.
her some
What can I
latitude by
say?
going first.
I don't really know what I was doing there.
As Astro the dog would say, "Ruh-roh."
Elevator pitch. I am a cross-genre author who writes books with myth, magic, and mayhem.
Excellent. I can see the elevator couldn't even got to the first floor on that one, which is fantastic. So it's sailed. Charles.
We have a tagline for just about all of our books, but the one that sort of the umbrella for us is also the marketing tagline we use, which is technology is today's weapon of choice. And that's what everything we have it laced. Either it's fairly thick throughout the books or it's fairly modest throughout the books, but there's always a technical angle for the winner, for the good guys to be able to beat the bad guys.
I think there are a few run-on sentences there, as Wendy might probably say, but nevertheless, congratulations, because I didn't actually prep anybody for that particular question. And it was really just a case of getting an initial flavor in terms of where we're going, because we do have a world where there's an awful lot of attention span deficits that's around. And I think my final question for all three authors would be, coping with that, is the prognosis for the future of young writers in particular, because you're all established authors and doing some excellent work, but for young writers, would you say the prognosis is good, middling, or shake of the head? I don't know what's going to happen. Charles.
I would caution the young writers from embracing and being seduced by the use of artificial intelligence, machine learning, writing. To me, that's poisonous, and it would take away from your credibility. And it might look good on the front side, but by the time that you're ready to take advantage of all the accolades you could have won, you'll have that horrible beginning that's where you use the wrong technology for the right reasons.
So avoid AI, which is a very significant aspect there. Wendy.
I think there's an excellent prognosis for young writers. I think more and more people are going back to reading. It's almost like the pendulum is swinging the other way. And I know quite a few young writers who are reading novels. And I'm an old English teacher, right? An old high school English teacher. And so I've worked with a lot of kids over the years, and I really see that books are huge. Books are huge with kids. I mean, there's still, three quarters, maybe three quarters of the high school populations are introverts who are still walking around with their books and hiding in corners and reading. Yay. And there is that audience there, and I think that they just need, they just need to really believe in themselves and do it,
And Marie, have we come pretty long along the way since your writing of the 1,000 years ago?
My writing of the 1,000 years ago? Oh, you mean
Well,
of medieval Wales?
exactly.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Well, I think books were popular back then too, in a way. There certainly were books in Welsh that were burned by Edward I. But I think, yeah, I think I agree with Wendy. I think the prognosis is reasonably good, promising. And I think that, again, as long as young writers are respecting their readers, and doing their reading as well, I think that, we can definitely support each other and reading will continue, hopefully, into the future for sure.
And finally, then, Marie, how can people actually follow you via the socials and indeed access your own work? Let's promote yourself at the end of this particular piece.
Well, I think the best place to find me is on my website, mariepowell.ca. Just think Marie Powell from Canada, because there's a lot of Marie Powells out there. Mariepowell.ca is the best place to find, the various works that I have and links to them.
And Wendy?
Yeah, my publishing business is Blue Haven Press, and that's the best place to find me too.
And Charles.
So, our small press, Ichabod, you can find all of the different medias, ebook, paper, and audiobooks on enigmaseries.com. And
Well, it's been
the links
terrific.
of that, the, go ahead.
It's been terrific connecting with the three of you once again. Our first official panel discussion. Had you met before, or was this a first for the three of you?
My first for these being on with these esteemed colleagues. So again, Alex, thanks for inviting us in, and ladies, thank you for the your insights. Much appreciated.
Nice to meet you, Charles.
Nice
I
too.
will divulge that Marie and I are actually quite good friends, and that another th tip, marketing tip, is to have several friends that are in the business that all kind of write the same way you do, and to have little Zoom meetings with them and talk about what's working and what's not working. That way you can maybe somebody's tried a stacked promotion and you and said, nope, don't do that. And you can go, okay, I'm gonna not do that. So it just, yeah, I think it's really important to have those groups of people and network with your own tribe of authors.
And I'd also like to thank Mickey, of course, from Creative Edge, without whom this would not have necessarily happened. So perhaps the importance of the agent is something else we need to actually talk about in future elements of marketing and so on. But for now, to Marie Powell, to Wendy Hawken, and of course to Charles Brakefield, huge thanks. And hopefully we'll speak again in the very near future.
Love to.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alex.
Thank you. is true.